Democrats are preparing to wrap up their case in the impeachment trial of former President Trump, and they're citing Trump's speech right before last month's Capitol insurrection as an example of the many ways he encouraged the attack. Trump told his supporters, "If you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore." The former president's defenders argue his words were political speech and are protected by the First Amendment. Here is his attorney, Bruce Castor, earlier this week.
We can't possibly be suggesting that we punish people for political speech in this country.
For more clarity on this argument, we have with us Ilya Soman, a law professor at George Mason University. Mr. Soman, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, Professor, over the last few days, we've heard this argument for and against the idea that Trump's words were protected by the First Amendment. You make the case that the First Amendment does not protect government officials from being impeached and convicted for their free speech. Why is the standard different for officials than public citizens, private citizens, I should say?
It's not that it's different. It's that freedom of speech for anybody simply doesn't include a right not to be fired from a government job for it or not to be barred from being hired in the first place. Government officials are fired for their speech all the time. Indeed, Donald Trump himself removed numerous subordinates over the years because they said things he didn't like. And similarly, there's nothing preventing the Senate from concluding that if Trump deserves to be convicted, that he should be barred from holding office in the future as a result of what he said, because the right to hold government office is not a part of freedom of speech.
Well, some Republicans argue this is a slippery slope and sets a dangerous precedent to impeach a president that has neither practiced nor preached violence directly. For instance, if a president said directly and explicitly, go commit a violent crime, for instance, do they have a point?
No, I don't think they do. First of all, he actually has praised violence by his supporters on multiple occasions, going all the way back to the 2016 presidential campaign. Second, regardless of that, I think there's little need for any worry about slippery slopes with impeachment because there's a high supermajority bar for conviction that requires two-thirds of the Senate to vote for it. So as a practical matter, no president can be convicted unless a large percentage of his own party, the senators from his own party, also vote for it. And it's very unlikely that they would vote to convict the president of their own party for some kind of a frivolous reason. If anything, we should worry more about the opposite slippery slope, which is of presidents getting away with severe abuses of power and not being held accountable for it. Sadly, that's what actually has been the problem that we've encountered over the last few years, particularly with Trump, but certainly not exclusively with him.
Okay. Can you give an example of some past cases that maybe have set the precedent here?
Certainly. There have been impeachments for speech going all the way back to the dawn of the Republic, when in the early years of the Republic, two federal judges were impeached and one convicted for speech that was inappropriate to their offices, even though certainly if a private citizen had said the same thing, he couldn't be sent to prison for it or subjected to criminal punishment.
Okay. You know, Republicans are bringing up the First Amendment a lot right now, not to just defend Trump, but Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has also claimed that she's being silenced and she has endorsed violence against officials in the past. Does a member of Congress face a different standard than the president in terms of what speech is protected?
No. And in fact, when she was stripped of her committee assignments recently because of her speech, hardly anybody said that that was a violation of the First Amendment. It's because this was another situation of somebody losing a political position rather than one where she's sent to prison or fined or subjected to any kind of criminal or civil punishment. But politicians all the time lose positions of power because of their speech, and in no way does that violate the First Amendment. If it does, then Trump violated the First Amendment every time he fired a subordinate who said things that he didn't like.
Yeah, you know, the First Amendment is such a fundamental part of our identity in this country. I want, with the 1 minute that I have with you, ask you, do you think the First Amendment is misunderstood overall by the public and maybe even our elected officials?
I think much of the time they understand it quite well, but there is abusive misunderstanding when some people think that the First Amendment protects people from losing positions of political power because of their speech. That's a badly flawed application of the idea.
Yeah, and you're saying, in light of what we expect to happen with this impeachment trial, the thing that we should be thinking about is what will happen if Trump is not held responsible for what he said.
Yes, I think that's right. And not just what he said, but also what he did over a course of many weeks in trying to overturn the result of an election that he lost.
Ilya Soman is a law professor at George Mason University and an adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute. He's the author of Freedom Move, Foot Voting, Migration, and Political Reform. Professor, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you very much for having me.